Tucker, Decatur, and Atlanta. WGUN 1010 AM, where God unites nations.
Welcome to the Soulful Mind radio program. I am Minister Jackie Kane.
And Dr. Patrick Ware, Duluth Child Psychiatrist.
We are so glad that you again stopped in to visit with us. We're here every Friday from 2 to 2:30, and you also can go to our website if you need any information or we'd like to hear from you at thesofamind.com, and you can go to wgunradio.com, click Listen Live, and you'll be able to hear all of our programs.
Here we are, 100 years, over 100 years of experience, although we're going to drop some of that experience real soon. We'll talk about that in a minute. We also want to remind folks that this program's contents are the opinion, expression of the opinions of Minister Kane and myself, and are certainly not intended to in any way supplant the resources that one might have with individual counselors or folks from your church, where our intent is to augment that process, that content. Our family is growing with ever-increasing acknowledgments. Listeners are letting us know that they're listening and taking notes and even asking provocative questions. That's what communication is all about, so we thank you so very much for that. These inputs. Our approach, while incredibly simple, is indeed profound and is one of the ways the human heart can be open to accept life fully and completely. It is our message that the acceptance of God's gifts as they are offered is the central human challenge. What we have here is a vehicle that is proven to assist you in just doing that, and we'll remind you that on the website, www.thesoulfulmind.com, that there's an exercise there that will invite you to pause after any feeling, any size, any quality, any time, and ask yourself quietly, and how intense was that? And on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is no intensity and 10 is the most intense feeling you could ever imagine having, the feeling will tell you where it fits on that scale. And once that registers, you've just done it. We've had folks calling in that began the exercise. I think Ricky did. Didn't he call last week?
Yes. He sure did.
Sharing with us that changes had already begun to happen in his life, among others.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
So we're very pleased. The guys are picking up a little bit, and their responses, Ricky, Todd, Lee, Mark, and Kenneth, have all recently expressed their interest in what we're doing. And Ricky was so kind last week to let us know that what our efforts here are having an impact and that people are listening. Mm-hmm. So how about it, folks? Are you out there? Are you listening? Do you know how very important it is for us and the other listeners to know that you're there listening and hopefully beginning your own intensity monitors? Please let us know if we're reaching you. We're waiting for your email, your voicemail, your telephone message, or call in about whatever your experience is. We're all here for you deeply in prayer that you can hear us. And again, a child psychiatrist opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask for your blessing and direction in this ministry. Open our hearts and our ears that we may hear and have our hearts and minds guided, that we may be heard by those who will benefit from your gifts. We also want to remind folks that Miss Jenny, our webmaster, is continuing to update the website so that all of the radio broadcasts are available through the website up through last Friday. And soon she should have the program notes for each of those broadcasts posted as well. So that's there for you. Don't forget that it is our position that the universal theme of loving and to be loved is a global desire. What more is there in this brief stay that we have here? Have you ever had the sense that you have difficulty in getting in touch with your own feelings? What if that's your first signal of what's missing in your life? Do you really think that you can successfully run away from your own heart? If you have any sense that enhancing the quality of your life is a very real asset that you can at least imagine, that could propel you forward into life far beyond your imagination, you are at the right place, and we have the right stuff for that new chapter in your life. We hope you will listen critically, explore our website, thesoulfulmind.com, read what others' experiences are, begin the exercise, listen to our past programs, and by all means, let us know how it's going. We believe that first you discover that living a full, rich life is possible by experiencing that with others, then you explore the opportunity for yourself, and lastly, you share and teach others what you have and are learning. Last week, we began a subject before we had a wonderful conversation with the caller. I believe it was Ricky, as I recall, about parenting, and we began that discussion, and given that this is the last program that Minister Kane will be with us regularly, I wanted to rush the schedule just a little bit and move away from a very important subject, which is parenting, into a subject which I think is near and dear to both Minister Kane and my heart, and that's the issue of abuse and how abuse and trauma can profoundly affect people's lives and their relationships and their sense of well-being and their choices. So we're going to be talking about abuse today. We're at 770-491-7748. So please interrupt us, and we will go as far as we can with this and see where we get.
Take your calls. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And then I'll continue with parenting next week. The subject of abuse is one that, in my experience, both in I'm a bit of a history student, and I am certainly in touch with the fact that it is my conviction that abuse in all kinds of forms, we will be talking more about sexual abuse perhaps today, but that abuse is probably one of the most unrecognized and morbid influences on the lives of mankind for centuries. Our agencies and systems just simply are not functioning adequately.
Absolutely.
To protect people and to educate them and to help them. It's pretty hard, I think, to live 30 years, your first 30 years, without having some tragedy touch your life.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, my experience is that the earlier in one's life that tragedy, that trauma, that stress occurs, the greater the impact on the individual at the time and subsequently. And I would say that of all the people that I have worked with, the percentage of people who have had some profound trauma in the first 30 years is certainly above 95%.
Mm-hmm.
And that sexual abuse is right up there at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should define sexual abuse, and so I'm going to make a stab at that. And we did some of this earlier when we talked about developmental, the acquisition of a sense of identity followed, this is in the first 15 to 25 years of life, the acquisition of identity followed by the ability to participate in simple friendship, platonic friendship, followed by, subsequent to that, the ability to experience and participate in romantic attachments. And those are three very separate challenges for an individual to experience. And generally, we'll talk about sexual abuse per se at this point, although there's some very real similarities with emotional abuse and intellectual abuse and physical abuse. And quite often, when one form exists in a child's life, there's one or two of the others that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that an individual who experiences a premature introduction of adult romantic or sexual issues into their development will integrate or identify that identity and friendship and sexuality are all one event, and mm-hmm. they have tremendous difficulties in separating those. Their sense of self is connected to whether they have a significant other. Their ability to be close with another individual in a friendship is very, very hard because it's very likely that they will sexualize that attachment. And then, you know, we have talked about the principle that if an individual participates in a romantic experience with another person before they have identity and before they experience simple friendship with that person, that the ability to be in a friendship parallel with the romantic experience is extremely unlikely, that it's very hard to build a friendship if romance is the beginning.
True.
So we're painting a picture of an individual sometime, call me old-fashioned or conservative, but I would say that sexual romantic attachments that occur for many, many people before the age of 20 have the great risk of impairing identity and simple friendship for that individual's ability to just simply function in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this week that there was an article or a news broadcast about two second graders, I think it was in a Georgia school, who were caught having sexual intimacy in the classroom.
Oh, my.
It is almost always the case that when I talk with kids in the sixth grade, even early in the year, quote, most of the girls all have boyfriends, end quote.
Unbelievable.
12 years old.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, we've got a real problem on our hands. And so what we're going to talk about today is what it is and what its character is and how do you recognize it and what in the world do you do when it's, you know, it's either a part of you or it's a part of suspicion that mm-hmm. someone you know is having these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is hope, and you guys out there can perhaps let us know what the scripture reference is for it. But what I can tell you is that it is possible to achieve identity and to discover simple friendship and to understand that those are separate from friendship, from romantic attachments. It's possible, it's just really hard, especially if the person who's coming for the counseling is asking, gee, you know, here I'm in this relationship with this person, but I know there's something not right in my life, and I need to work on that. So, you know, they hear me say, well, you need some time and some space because you've got to pull back on some level. Sometimes that means abstinence from any distraction that's going to take your mind and your heart away from your own thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's there's no question, but what if you're in a relationship with someone and that person looks up at you and says, you know, I really need some time and space to collect myself, and that means that we can't see each other, we can't be close. It's probably one of the most loving gifts an individual can give someone, to be able to give them the time and space to do the discovery work that they need to do to be who they need to be as an individual. Perhaps for the couple to work on their friendship and then look at the issue of whether romance is something that they both heartfully and soulfully want to pursue. I think the question of how do you recognize it is an important one.
Very important.
I've listed some things, and I'm hoping that Minister Kane's going to jump in here, but I'm going to run down the list of things that came to my mind as not definitively indicative of abuse, but highly suggestive of at least asking the question, is that a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
When I see people, youth, that's usually under the age of 18, who are acting as though they're adults, we call it attitude in the business, in my business, that they become intensely resistant to structure and supervision, disrespectful of authority. It's really like childhood ended if you will, mm-hmm. except nobody announced it. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Impaired impulse control, increased demandingness of others. They become high maintenance. We call it narcissistic, you know, my way or no way. Mm-hmm. They exhibit mood swings. They are significantly avoidant of managing responsibilities that go along with whatever age and grade they're in. And quite often, you can see it, that life is only about romance and boyfriends and girlfriends. That's where their head is. They have impaired self-esteem. Quite often, they're caretakers. They're out there trying to make other people happy. Mm-hmm. Without being aware that they're really unhappy themselves. Mm-hmm. They quite often will develop obsessive thoughts and compulsive behaviors, eating disorder symptoms, which is a vast subject in and of itself, is highly indicative of the possibility of early childhood sexual abuse. Sleep disturbances and nightmares, over-concern about the parents' issues and trying to be a kind of unofficial third parent in the family. Quite often these children have a lot of power in their families. It's also a reality that they can have irrational fears, a kind of ever-present apprehension, and even little things can be things that they dwell on. Mm-hmm. Impaired frustration tolerance, defiant behaviors that goes along with the attitude. Another one that I see is they really seem to have a significant difficulty in understanding that their behaviors have impacts on others. Mm-hmm. So they come across as not having a conscience or having remorse or empathy. In reality, my sense is that it's more that they're just so focused on their feelings and what they need to do to manage what's going on in their hearts that they just don't have time or space to be aware that their choices, the way they relate to people, mm-hmm. can be profoundly painful to those around them.
So if you have a child that is acting out in some of these ways, you really need to sit down and talk with them, right? I mean, there's always a two sides to a story, so to speak. You know, and a lot of parents, they forget, oh, I don't know where you're picking this up from. Why are you suddenly acting a certain way? It's so important as a parent because, you know, we are responsible for our children and or people around us, making them to become scarred adults. And that's a very difficult thing. I mean, it damages marriages. It damages their children and the generations to come.
It's passed on.
It's a continuous cycle.
Isn't there a scriptural reference that talks about the sins
of
the father?
Yeah, from father go down to the 10th generation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's so true.
It's absolutely true. So as parents, instead of us looking at children and saying, oh, why are you acting out? It's got to be John or Susie that you're hanging out with. You need to take time, talk with your child. If you don't feel like they would talk with you, get them somewhere so they can talk to someone. Because the healing process needs to start immediately while they're young. Don't you agree?
Well, I think communication is critical in any relationship, and I think that parents who are so busy with their own problems
Absolutely.
And challenges, who are, you know, gee, I hope my child's going to be okay. I would just simply say that something that our society had in years past, which I recommend regularly, is that if at the meal, dinner time, you can pick another time, but if there's a time when your family is all in one place, you simply go round robin and everybody has the opportunity of saying what happened in their day. Mm-hmm. That the other members of the family don't know about. And mm-hmm. if you do that regularly, what happens is you really start talking to one another. Like we said last week, mm-hmm. turn off the electronics.
Absolutely.
You'll read and you'll talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the foundation. You've got to continue the communication daily, mm-hmm. if possible. Mm-hmm. You've got to listen to them. Now, the difficulty with the issue of what's wrong with my child is that children don't always know what happened.
Exactly.
They don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have worked with folks who we know were sexually abused prior to their third birthday.
My goodness.
But who have no recollection of
the abuse.
Mm-hmm. But the impact on their character, on their sense of self, the list of things that we just went through, is impressively quite similar to those who really do have a memory.
Isn't that amazing?
It's not at all unusual for me to be working with a woman. Usually it's women. Guys have a real hard time with this, although it's not exclusively women. But it's not at all unusual to be seeing them in their early 40s where they're beginning to kind of get a sense that that their ability to be close to other people is not what they can't do it. It's just
it's there's something holding them back.
And they're in marriages and they're in relationships.
And it's true every day.
I'm going to continue on down this list.
But before you continue down the list, let's clear up something. How do you start the healing process when you see that the signs are there? Now, a lot of parents are just too busy to talk to their kids. And now, you know, our generations and the generations before us, it was, you know, you do what I say, not what I do, because I said so. And that's one of the things that, you know, as a parent of four girls, I have learned to build relationships, because being a young female, I myself was abused. So it's very particular for me that my daughters know the signs. They know when they're around someone and they're making them uncomfortable. I've taught them the trust issues, you know, what you need to look for, because I did not want it to be a continuous thing that goes on in the family life. And it's so important that you take the time to tell your children these things and have relationships with them, so that if something happens to them, you will be able to discuss this with them and they come and confide in you. Don't you agree?
And yes, and what we hope is that that's the case. The problem is that the great majority of abuse events occur outside of the child's awareness, either before they're three, or that the child isn't tracking what happened as being a significant event. They're just living the results of it. Mm-hmm. So that is absolutely true within the situation where you've got a child who says, something happened at school that made me feel uncomfortable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is come back to that in a second.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to
it. Well, the next one's really important. You know, after impaired conscience and remorse, the struggle, the inability to trust others,
absolutely,
is so central.
Absolutely.
And social guardedness and aloofness, controlling behaviors, intensely competitive, and addictions.
Absolutely.
Those are all things that really are highly indicative of the subject that we speak of. And so what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about what, Jackie, you're asking, and that is, what in the world do you do if you think that this might be an issue for you or your child? First thing is, and the cardinal rule is, that always look to yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
That if there's any possibility that either or both parents have abuse issues,
mm-hmm.
Intimacy issues, mm-hmm. trust issues, mm-hmm. fidelity issues, mm-hmm. loyalty issues, that you really need, the parents need to look at those things first, because it's very hard to teach a child openness and trust.
Mm-hmm.
If the lives of the parents are burdened in those areas. So first the parent looks at themselves, and of course that, this is sort of sounds like a commercial coming full circle, but that's what this program is about, is to help individuals
true to oneself,
get in touch with their whole heart and soul, and to not judge the feelings that are there, because that's the goal of healing.
Mm-hmm.
That is what healing is for children, as well as adolescents and adults. We just go about it a little differently.
Absolutely.
If they're really young. So what does a person need who's having difficulties with all of these issues? What they need is to have at least one person in their life who is not using them.
Can we get some clarification on that one, Dr. Ware?
Well, you know, the issue of abuse is that the person is used by someone. And if the someone who's using the child, in this case, if we're looking at it as a child, because adults use each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes both ways.
That's
and so the use is the same thing as addiction, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with being used, and, it starts with quite often being used by someone who is an object of trust or affection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you find is that they're just really... It impedes the individual's ability to be warm and open and accessible because they got used.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go back and create an opportunity for that person They may be adolescents or young adults or even middle-aged adults by the time you have an opportunity to do the work. You want to create an opportunity for them to experience a relationship. Sometimes it's with a therapist. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's with other people in their lives that are not sexual, that are not usury, and that to create a space within which that individual can get in touch with their own identity, which does involve meeting and facing and embracing their pain. I think Ricky was real clear with us last week that he was beginning to let himself appreciate his pain. It's a foundational part of who you are is what's in your heart.
And you know, I'm finding at our church we have a youth ministry, and it's an awesome youth ministry because our youth pastor is he's in his late 20s, so he's a, you know, he can relate to the children, and is he just married, and they just had a wonderful little baby girl. And as you were saying, that if you don't have the foundation in your house, then you need to get help somewhere for that child.
And you've got to be
somewhere where they can get some help.
You've got to be very, very picky about who you get to help you with this. It's like in any other industry. You know, if you ask yourself, if you were a lookalike for someone who apparently killed somebody in a 7-Eleven and you don't have an alibi, you better be careful who you get to represent you.
Absolutely. And most churches now have council staff who has also learned about this kind of topic, and or people that have taken on the mission because they have been abused themselves.
Absolutely.
And you being a professional in the industry, you've seen it. I mean, you opened my eyes to it when you say, you know, when you have a three-year-old acting out sexual things, then clue, I mean, they've been abused.
There are child care health care deliverers who will tell mothers that a masturbating three-year-old is normal.
And that's not.
No, it is not.
And you know, God created us to be sexual beings when we are married, man, woman, husband, wife, married together. So for a three-year-old to be acting out that kind of thing, or it being reported in school, one lady said that they reported that her son was messing with one of the little kids in the class, and it became a big thing. And she's like, that's impossible. Don't say it's impossible. Who have your children been around, and how can you get help immediately? Do not turn away. This is a taboo topic, which is awful.
Well, I think one of the it's a taboo topic. Our governmental systems are nearly completely inept. There were major,
which is ridiculous.
Major news stories about one of Metro Atlanta's counties, head of the Department of Family and Children Services, was recently terminated. We have a policy in Georgia, which is a legal constraint, and that is that if your child is sexually abused by another child, the Department of Family and Children Services, the legal system, will not pursue it. It's got to be an adult. The percentage of kids who are abused who actually make a report or a disclosure is extremely small. This is a tough subject. We just started scratching the surface.
Yes, we did.
We love Jackie Kane. She's not going to be with us all the time. She's
but
in our prayers.
As often as I can, because our focus is have a Christ-centered home, right?
We hope you're coming back.
Absolutely, I
www.thesoulfulmind.com. Talk to you next week.
Have fun. Bye. God bless you.